I did not know her. She'd been calling the church for years, and I'd been responding to her calls for help, I'd say for about 3 years or so, but I did not know her. She was just another woman down on her luck who needed help to buy food for her family. She would call almost every other week, and because she did not have transportation, I would drive to whatever hovel she and her two little boys were living in. But I did not know her. She was just another woman who couldn't seem to get her act together, and so she relied on handouts from the church to supplement her social assistance. Whenever I went to wherever it was that she was living, she would always invite me in, and I would always agree. But just for a moment, I'd tell her, I was very busy, and I had other places to go and other people to see. But the truth is, the places where she managed to find shelter always smelled so bad, and I usually wanted to be on my way so that I could escape the odors that permeated the filthy apartments in the musty basements. Her various homes were so depressing that I could not bear to sit down. She would always offer me tea, and I would always politely refuse, claiming that I'd just had a cup, thank you very much. I did not know her. I suppose I did not want to know her. Maybe I've met too many women just like her. Maybe I'm jaded. Maybe the thought of becoming immersed in the sinkhole of sadness that is her life was just too much to bear. So I'd just smile and give her a handout. I'd learned a long time ago not to ask too many questions. Her problems were more than our meager resources could handle. I've been down that road before. So I'd hand over a grocery voucher and indulge in a little small talk. I did not know her. I did not want to know her. One day in the midst of our small talk, her little boy poked his head around the corner and said, "Boo!" And his nose was running and his eyes were all watery. But he smiled up at me and he reached up his open hand and in the midst of this grimy, filthy palm of his were about a half a dozen Smarties. "Here," he said, "one of them's for you." I looked down at the Smarties and then into his smiling, watery eyes, and I knew I had to take one. I didn't want to. After all, he was sick. I could see it running down his face. But what's a few germs between friends? So I reached down and picked up a red Smartie from his sticky palm, popped it into my mouth, and as it began to sweetly melt in my mouth, something began to melt in me. We talk a great deal around here about embodying Christ in the world. Often in our prayers together, we express our desire to be love in the world. Our best selves. We want to be love in the world. In our hearts and minds, we know that if Christ is to be embodied in the world, then somebody's hands are going to have to reach out and touch some places that we would rather not touch. There are places in this world where people live lives that are so desperate that we can't help but be relieved that we don't have to live those lives. The kind of lives that we would rather not know about. There are sinkholes of depression out there in which people live in such desperation that we would just as soon flee from them as quickly as possible. There are people out there who live in ways that we don't even want to imagine. There are people out there that we just don't want to know because we know them If we know them, we just might begin to love them. And love, well, love can be messy, and love can be costly. Love can be so complicated and so very demanding that if we are not careful, we could be consumed by the needs of those people, and so we would rather not know them. Because after all is said and done, if they'd made better choices, or if they hadn't done this or that, or if they'd only think before they act, or if they'd just do what we've been telling them to do, or if the government would only do more, or if the rich people would just open up their wallets, or if the world was perfect, then we wouldn't have to know them. Let us be love in the world, but not to everyone. Let us be love in the world, but not right now. Let us be love in the world, but only on our terms. Let us be love in the world, but only if they show gratitude and shape up and do better. Let us be love in the world, but not if it means doing that. The sticky red Smartie hadn't finished dissolving in my mouth before the snotty-nosed little boy offered up another Smartie. And I didn't have the heart to refuse. So I popped a yellow Smartie into my mouth, and as I thanked the little guy for his delicious gifts, he wrapped his arms around my legs and smeared my pants with the evidence of his embrace. Then, like she always does, she asked me if I'd like a cup of tea. The sweet, sticky Smarties and the snotty embrace had caused a lump to form in my throat. Perhaps it was my heart trying to leap out of my chest. I picked up the smelly little boy as I declared that a cup of tea would be lovely. Thank you very much. I wish I could tell you that things changed dramatically after our little tea party. I can't. They didn't. All I can say is that over many more cups of tea, I have come to know her. I still wish that she'd smarten up and do things better. But I know her. And I know just how difficult it is for her to change her ways. My love for her is far from perfect. But I do love her in ways that I once couldn't even begin to imagine. I know her, and she knows me. And I believe that both of us are better off for knowing one another. Sometimes communion is just a couple of grimy, sticky Smarties and some tea served up in a filthy cup. But even the stickiest, grimiest communion can open you up to a kind of love you never knew was possible. These grubby little communions can indeed become the kingdom of God. So let us be love in the world. Let it be so. Amen.